then this happens, like, okay, well, what's the next thing?
Right.
Maybe there isn't the next thing. Like, maybe this is exactly what we need to be in doing for the next 10 years. We want to get into the origin of the big ticket nickname, because I think it's the funniest story of all time for how somebody got their nickname. Big announcement, by the way. I think we may have teased it a little bit, but whatnot, but big announcement. Bob Does Sports is moving to...
But now I think this is the best job.
Man, are you being serious?
I'm being 100% serious.
It really is.
You travel,
man,
with your best friends.
I mean, in the words of Cold Cuts, I never got in this for the money.
Yeah. Never got into this for the money.
You know what I mean? I got into it.
I almost feel, unless it's a food challenge, We usually always have such a good gauge of what's going to hit and what's not. Maybe we're starting to lose our idea of what's going to be good or not. And that's good, and that's good and bad. Like the last one, the
30 on YouTube?
Yeah, like I feel like we're starting to lose a little bit of a gauge of, which is not, by the way, not the worst thing.
I disagree, Gary.
You do?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad you do.
There are misses that show up. Like, we've there's certain videos that you think are going to hit hard that don't, but the bangers, everybody knows.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Then there's also been ones that kind of have tailed from behind. This one more, it was like watching a horse race of when they finally get up on the outside and they start moving. The one where we golf till dark.
Yeah, it's
was
yeah.
By far,
you didn't think that was going to be a banger?
No, I did, but it didn't start. I don't think it started out as a big time banger. I think we all thought
it started pretty good.
I think it did. It picked up steam. It also came out, and I don't know if this affects normally during the majors. It affects. It came out during the coverage of the British Open, the last hour or two. So that might have slowed it out the jump, and then it just kept picking up steam, and then it moved in. It's like the fastest we've had to date.
Remember when we were so pissed? Remember when we released on March Madness?
Yeah, and we didn't think.
Yeah. He's right during day one of March Madness, too. And then he threw a fit.
I don't know what video was. I didn't throw a fit. I was just like, it's annoying to.
I don't think you know what a fit is, because you throw fits all the time. And you always say, I didn't throw a fit. That's a good point, it was. Man. It was a fit.
Yeah, you know, but when you say fit, I think of like a child like throwing. And I know you're going to be like, oh, you are a child throwing shit. But I think of like a little kid like having a throwing a fit. I don't think of a guy just like cursing out his boys, you know?
I would say the most,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A guy cursing out his boys is just a dick.
So you should have said he was a dick.
But you know the sick part about you?
No.
Is when we say you're being a dick, he loves it.
And it's he doesn't true. Like the fit thing. So that's why we say you're throwing
because
a fit.
Yeah, that's fair. If you keep saying throwing a fit, you'll never hear from me
again.
Do you
want to know what else?
Videos will suck, but you'll never hear from me.
What else I've noticed is that the things that will get you to laugh the hardest, like, is when we're the meanest to you. Like, the meanest thing that I can say to you will land with you. I mean, I don't like saying mean shit all the time to him, but, like, if you want him to laugh, you have to get deep and you have to say some really mean, fucked up shit. Uh-huh. Yeah.
To get me to laugh?
Don't you agree with that, Tig?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Are you serious?
The other day, I told him not to touch something, and he was like, "Yeah, see, I like that."
Yeah.
He did. No,
I was like, "Don't touch it."
Yeah, no, because he looked at me and he was just like, he gave me like a real stern like talking to, and I was like, "Damn, like, I like that."
It is. You know what's been one of the most enjoyable things for me is watching you two interact and you two now get along to where you guys are at now, or even like feel each other out. Like when Ticket took the wheel of the van in Atlanta, which I think was his first trip.
No.
Wasn't the first trip?
No, my first trip was Dallas, and you were sick.
Oh, it was Bryson. By the way, I don't want to pull a cutsy. Is that camera on me?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
You just pulled the cutsy.
I didn't want to do it. But that one I know is the wide camera. That's usually the one that's zoomed in.
So now I can kind of understand where he's coming from, because it does not look like it's on you, but I can assure you that it is.
But he was referring to the... If you have a question about the wide angle, you got issues. If you're asking about that one... Then you're okay.
No, that one's on you too.
Okay, sensational.
See, now I got it. I don't want him to have a fit later. So
oh no, I might be a dick.
But you're when Ticket, and it's okay if he's gone for this. When Ticket first took the wheel of the van in Atlanta, and that was like the first trip where we were really together because I had COVID during Dallas. I think that's when you were probably at your. Were you worried the most about Ticket? Now, me and Joe had known Ticket from working at the Four Seasons, so we knew what we were getting. So it didn't faze us. We knew what we were getting.
Yeah, I think that that drive was pretty well, because I had never we had experienced it. The truth is, me and the ticket, people don't know this, and I don't even know if you know this. When we started, you were living in LA, right?
That's
and
right.
there was a week early on that I moved here that you were staying at Bob's. You went out of town. I think you were in Jupiter. And the ticket was staying at your apartment.
Yeah.
And I came every single day to work out of your apartment. And he was staying there. And we would just like order the Pasta Sisters and watch Colin Cowherd while like I worked. And it was like 1 week, but we became pretty tight throughout that week. And
yeah.
I don't know if he remembers. That was like early when I'm obviously still pretty nuts now, but I was at my worst back then in terms of like anxious about getting this to work. And there was a video. It was the One Club Challenge. Do you remember this, Tick?
Mm-hmm, I do.
It was at Tierra Rajada, where we filmed that, which we've never been back to for some reason. It was the One Club Challenge, and I was editing it, and I was losing my shit. It was like Wednesday night, like 2 a.m, and me and him were like, he was watching a movie, or we were doing something, and I think he thought I was a psychopath at the time, because I had so much anxiety about making sure, it was one of the first episodes, and I wanted to make sure it was good, and I was losing my mind, and the audio wasn't working, and I could not figure it out, and I was just like, I wasn't berating him, but I was like using him to vent, and I think he's like, this kid's crazy, like, what are we doing
here? But you weren't with Bob DeSports at that time.
No.
You were just staying at my apartment.
Yeah, I wasn't even living in LA. I was staying on Joe's couch.
Right. You were on Joe's couch, but since Bob was out of town.
And I needed a break.
Yeah.
From the couch.
Yeah, so.
At Cutsies.
Right. So Bob was out of town, so you went to Bob.
So I used to
come every day and work out of there.
Right, yeah. Even when Bob was gone.
Yes.
Yeah. Wouldn't you be like grilling upstairs? Like you would send.
That's right. I used every amenity you had in that place. I certainly did.
Only thing I used was the couch and the bathroom.
But the thing is, I think that, I mean, me and you have all, on a personal level, have always been friends since I've met you.
Yes. Yeah. When did we meet?
I think you probably had some issues with me at certain times in a work relationship, for sure. But I think on a personal, like, which is maybe what Atlanta he's talking about. But I think on a personal level, we've always enjoyed each other's company. I can come over and we can watch golf or place a bet or just dick around, you know, we always have a good time.
We're also very similar. We have very similar brains.
Correct.
I think we look at the world, I think, in the same way.
Right. Yeah.
But when did we meet? I'm trying to think, when did I meet you?
I met you that week.
It was that week?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And you were getting ready. You guys were getting ready to go to Buffalo, I think, weren't you?
Wow. Possibly.
Yeah, because I remember you talking like, I haven't met Fat Perez yet.
That's very probably what it was.
You know,
it's hilarious.
The big thing that you guys have too, and not just to pump your tires, is first off, technically, I always wanted to hire, like when it came time where we realized like we needed another guy and I wanted to hire you, my whole thing was from a standpoint of your comedic timing. To me, that's bigger, and I think you would agree with it, that's bigger than the technical stuff because he could always learn that. I think you guys, from a comedic timing point, I think that's so key, and that's something that both you guys have, which is why it works so well.
Yeah, like we have a similar sense of humor as well, and like, when we made the show at the beginning, it kind of like, not by design, but the way we were editing it or the way I was editing it kind of gave it its direction, I guess. Not even by design, but that kind of became the direction of the show, to where if you would just bring a random person, I think we could bring, like, hire somebody to come in and learn how to edit it. But yeah, it has its own like design to it, I think, now.
Yeah, there's a tone to the show
that
you created, and we have similar brains, so I sort of fell into that pretty easily. But if anyone's coming on board now, we're looking for technical assassins. We've got enough comedic time.
The truth is, we
need assassins.
We are, but can I be honest with you? I value, like, when we're looking at, at hiring somebody, and we're like Jensen, who's making the tracers for us, it doesn't matter what your resume is. It doesn't matter how technically sound you are. To me, at least, because when Jensen came on, he reminded me a lot of myself. Like, when he would just hit us up and just start making shit for us. He made it better tracers. And it was like, if somebody's going to like just grind that much without being paid at first, just because he wants the job and he sees the future, it felt very similar to how I felt like 3 years ago when I was doing it. So I'm more inclined to work with somebody like that than somebody who has a degree from wherever and knows the technical skills, but doesn't have, you know, is not a dog.
You see a lot of you in Jensen.
For sure.
Which is why I like Jensen. And Jensen, as you folks are learning now, is the new guy coming on that's coming to help us out. When I was sold on Jensen was, A, you two telling me that he's got like that dog in him that where he'll just work. But when I started following him on Instagram and he did this purely out of enjoyment. He posted a shot chart and a tracer from every single shot
in one video. Yeah,
it was like one video, and I was like, "That's it. Yeah. That's I'll take him any day of the week." It was sick.
Should I tell you my one concern about him?
Sure.
So he's like, he's young. He's like a kid. Like he's a kid. No, it's not a concern. But
sure.
No, I'm saying like he's handling the podcast now.
Yeah.
He's like almost from a different generation.
That's true.
Which is like, yeah, and he's going to see this. You're from a different generation.
He's editing this.
But no, of course, it's not a bad thing. No, it's not a bad thing. I'm saying he's a young, like he's a kid. He's like fresh out of college or like just finishing up college. And it's just like that dynamic will be interesting, but he busts his ass and he makes it happen. So I don't know why you guys are making faces. I'm just being honest.
I think that really shows in like Instagram content. Like we've always talked that like Joe was born. You got to realize like Joe first got the iPhone when he was what?
He had to be like 25 or 20. He was much older.
Yeah.
20, so 21. Like, college.
You could tell in the way, or even Mikey V, who does the Brilliant Dumb Show with us, like the way they post is different. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the way they post and their style is different than somebody that was born in when we were.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I always tell you is that in 7 years, we're going to be, 5 years, we're going to be washed up as well.
Will we though?
Yeah, you might not be, but you'll be having to adapt. I used to be like so on top of every fucking internet cultural meme or anything. There's shit I see now and I'm like, fuck, I'm washed.
Yeah. But it's because their brain's working differently too, this younger generation.
Oh, the Gen Z. Yeah,
the Gen Z generation.
They're growing up on TikTok, which is going to screw all of them over for life. I'm actually thankful that I didn't have like an iPhone until I was like in my late teenager, because it was like...
Really?
I think I got my first iPhone when I was in, I had like a regular, I mean, I was late. My parents didn't like want, they weren't like, they didn't want to give like an iPhone to their kids in high school. So I think in like senior year or
I had one when I was like 13.
Yeah. So maybe, I mean,
been the same. You're my age.
Yeah. But there weren't like all that stuff that you could do on it. There wasn't like the TikToks or even like
a. No, but the texting was pretty cool. The first time I saw that colored bubble.
But now it's like, I bet you kids, that not to sound like the old school guy, but it is true. I'm thankful that we got it later to where kids now, when they hang out, they probably do what we all do now, and everybody's just on their phones the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, we had a wiffle ball stadium in my back, and we were playing wiffle ball all day and stuff, and you were doing all that. They're probably so, you know, locked into that now that it's got to be different.
Yeah, like, I think probably socially it's a whole lot different, like making friends and shit like that. But I don't know. I sometimes think about how like good it is that we developed some sort of habits
before we got addicted
to the phone. Yeah. You know?
Dude, do you remember like you could argue with your boys without knowing the answer for an entire night about shit?
Yeah, that's a great that's
and
a
now
great
it's
point.
Like you argue for 30 seconds and you're like, just fucking look
you're like,
it
what?
Up.
You're like, Texas A&M. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's
good.
There's a lot
that.
Of shit.
But
I missed that. Do you think we'll be so, like, I almost feel like we're on the internet all the time. We're obsessed with it. You really think that we'll lose our
fastball? Absolutely. I think that's evolution of time. Like, I think you can set your, like, I don't know. I lose our fastball in the sense of, like, we might not be hitting on Instagram trends, you know what I mean? But we'll be hitting on other things. Like, we'll just evolve into whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me ask you this. What's your screen time? And then, Tick, I'm coming to you.
I can
after.
Look. My Okay, so
I'd be
here's
very
the thing.
Curious.
My phone, between the computer and the phone, it's 24 hours. But if you want to just talk phone.
That's just going to give you phone? And I want to know yours.
You'll be shocked.
In a
yo,
lower?
He's got nothing.
I got nothing.
Are you serious?
You know that about me.
Yeah. So when you're not doing Bob Does Sports, you're checked out? Which is good, by the way, if so.
Well, like he said, it's like if I'm not on my phone, I'm on my laptop all day, either editing or working, or then if I'm not doing that, I'm on the TV. So my screen time is all fucking day. But my phone time is very, very... Do you want to know what the number is?
Yeah, I'd be curious.
I got mine, yeah.
And okay. Good for you, by the way.
2 hours and 46 minutes.
No,
yeah, but Bob,
and that's a pretty big week for me, too.
But you
that's
were,
a big one.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
but Bob, you were wondering why he doesn't respond in the chats. It's because his phone. He tosses the phone.
Like,
it's a smart play.
Yeah. Oh, I think... Look, I wish... I've noticed... I did it last night, and... I literally will have to, and it's not good.
Let me look at my screen.
I have to tell myself, okay, Robbie, you have to put your phone away now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will notice, like, even if I watch a show, I enjoy the show so much more when I don't have my phone there. But it's so rare for me to even be able to sit down and watch a show. That's how sick I am.
You know how crazy it is that people in general, you have to put one screen down because it's too addicting
to get another
to
one.
To focus on another screen.
Yeah.
You can't even focus on the one screen.
You want to hear mine?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
We're fucked.
No,
we're
it's like you turn.
People.
No, you spend all day looking at the big screen just to go home to look at the little screen, right? And then people are like, it's like a meme, or they're like, why can't I fall asleep? It's like there's an orb of light like shining in your true. Face at all times. Like how 10 hours, 23 minutes.
Oh my God.
And bear in mind, I'm on the computer a lot. So it is a lot of it's work related. Probably I would say
you do
almost
this,
half of this is work related.
Hybrid thing. I've watched you work before you're not laying down on the floor. On your stomach?
On my back, dude.
It's you do this thing where like you'll be on the laptop, but your phone's right here and it's on. You never closed it. Like you're up here. And you go, fuck. And you just come down here and scroll Twitter for like a little bit. And then you'll get back to it.
Right
back. That's you're right. Doing this hybrid
but
shit.
I do. I'm a big like, it's a problem. Not a problem because a lot of it is work. Like even if you're on Instagram, that's what we do. A lot of it is not work. But I do like I'll edit like two holes. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, FaceTime, whatever. Edit two more holes. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Edit, do it again. It's not good, but you know, it's how we, you know, it's how it is now.
Yeah, and I can only use it. By the way, my screen time is 14, 15 hours. So mind you, I sleep for, I always get a full 8 hours. It's pretty sick.
My attention span is so bad now. So bad to the point where even on TikTok, which is made for people with no attention spans, I can't go through a whole video. I just swipe.
See, I can only use the excuse of it being my full-time job for so many hours. Like, Joe has a crazy screen time, and he would always say, but Bob, it's my job. And it's like, it is, but to an extent. Yeah. Like, you scrolling through Twitter or whatever is not your job.
All right, folks, we now interrupt this podcast to let you know that Callaway has released their new CB wedges. You want forgiveness, you want feel, you want spin. Something that I don't usually experience, well, I did today after testing these things out. These things are everything and more that you want. Get a set today. We just did a fitting. I hit a bunch of these. CB stands for Cutsy's Back. They went way better than I could have ever expected. Callaway's got my back and they got yours too. So do yourself a favor, grab a set of these today.
Me, I don't know what he's fucking doing on there. Because at least you're doing Cameo.
Right.
You're doing some of these other things. You're talking on the phone a lot. You're a big talker on the phone. Joe is, I don't know what he doesn't do Cameo really that often. He doesn't talk on the phone that often. He's on Instagram and he's looking up bets. I don't know where all the time goes
for
him.
Yeah,
yeah. But I think that's, he's just, like everybody's like that now. You look up and you're like, it's 10 p.m. and I just looked at my phone doing nothing for 5 hours. Like, and I'm not talking about everybody, but I feel like that's common. But I had something to say about the ticket when we joined up. I forget. Was it Atlanta?
I wanted to circle back to Atlanta, too, because he seems to be referencing something that I'm not positive I know fully about.
No.
This drive?
You do.
Well,
it was in the car.
Did I really freak him out?
We were with
I was like, tick, like, figure it out.
We were with the...
I think. No one else volunteered to drive, by the way.
Of course. We were with the Doing Things CEO, shout out Reed Haley. We were with him and Ticket had just met him, and within the first 5 minutes, first off, Tick, your control of the van was all over the place. It was frightening. And Jet's in the back like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, he can't drive. We just hired the guy, he can't drive.
From the guy who never drives anyway.
I don't drive, but by design. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not going
to. Within the first 10 minutes, you told him about you being arrested, which I thought was hysterical, and he didn't like it.
And now we're telling the whole world.
Now everybody, everybody knows. But that does lead into the big ticket.
Sure.
Origin name. And we wanted to get into that. Last thing I'll say before you even go in there, Tick. It's fun for me to watch. I think you're having more of an idea now, but him is really coming now to where you don't realize how part of the show you're becoming, and you're not going to want to hear me say this, but like, you in a way now are becoming like a star on the show to where you look at the comments.
I agree.
And he doesn't even know.
Lately, there's like moments since we've done the show where, to me at least, I can speak for myself, where I'm very engrossed in the show, so I don't take a step back and look at where it's going or this or that. It's just like day-to-day shit. But mm-hmm. there are moments that happen where you actually feel something happening. Like when we hit 3, 4, 5 videos in a row and you can like feel it getting bigger mm-hmm. and you can feel the more comments coming in. You can feel the positivity coming in. So with the ticket, the last couple weeks and month, I've been feeling his presence growing and the amount of people talking about him and the amount of videos he's in and the bars he's dropping and his Instagram is growing and people are just like, what's the deal with this guy?
Is your Instagram going up?
It is. And he doesn't post.
I don't do anything on
it. Post.
Is it really?
Yeah.
He's got to start posting.
I'm getting some people who are getting pretty pissed.
Yeah, also people, too, dude.
When you first started, you didn't say as much because you were just kind of feeling it out. Now you're so comfortable to where people are seeing how fucking funny you are. The par three poppy things come about.
Yeah.
I don't think you realize where that's going. And that's fun to watch. But we want to get into the origin of the big ticket nickname because I think it's the funniest story of all time for how somebody got their nickname. So I'll give it to you, Tick.
I like the way you tell the story better.
Yeah,
you fill in some gaps if you feel okay. You feel needed.
Well, yeah.
So we told the story at a different podcast, but we had to cut it for certain reasons. But I'll first touch on that arrest that happened before this story.
I thought it was the same shit.
Well, I think there's a lot of people just hearing that I got arrested, and I got to make sure they know this I is didn't
like
kill
him,
a guy.
It's like him sitting down on Good Morning America to like talk about like his... his troubles and his mistakes, you know? That's what it sounds like.
For the record, I've been arrested too.
You have?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it?
We can, but I wanted
to... Okay, we'll get to me first. Yeah. But I was arrested twice.
Twice?
Both,
give me the two.
Both marijuana charges. Both small amounts of marijuana.
Same. Oh, okay.
Yeah, oh, you too? Same. There you go. Yeah. Okay. So there was nothing. Just slap on the wrist kind of thing. It's all legal now. It's all fucking legal.
He's like, I want that fucking expunged immediately.
So I went to a school, big party school. I don't think I should say it. And I was betting on college football. I was betting on baseball. I was betting on anything you could bet. And I racked up a huge debt with the wrong kind of people on campus. And they had this system where they would say, listen, man, you don't got to pay off the debt that you owe. But you do got to start selling weed for us. So I started selling weed for these guys to make them their money back. And eventually I did. And then I kept going. And it was a whole thing. But anyway, my gambit, my thing was I would stand outside of the football stadium.
Big university, by the way, too. Big football program.
Big football program. Big university. I would stand outside. Like I would make my sales all through the week. But you would pick up on Saturday mornings. At the stadium, and you would see me, and you would say, you sell them big tickets. And I would say, I got your tickets. And the tickets were weed. Lots and lots of weed.
But wasn't it like if they wanted a regular ticket, you would give them a ticket to the game? But if they wanted weed, they'd say, I'll take a big ticket?
That's correct.
Yes. Unbelievable.
That's 100% correct. Absolutely correct.
So but when you met him, you didn't know that. So did you just call him Neil until you heard the story?
Yeah, we had a terrible nickname for him. We used to call him Demo.
I remember that. Yeah.
But then that once I found out, he told the ticket story, and I was like, why the fuck are we not calling you Ticket? That's 10 times better. I didn't know about that.
I drop things about my past sporadically.
You do?
Yeah.
That's like with him. I got to force it out of him.
I don't drop anything. Bob knows a little bit, but I don't like...
Like the other day, I shot Perez. I told him I was, while I was at the same university, I was a white... water rafting guide.
I love that shit. Are you serious?
Yeah, on the way back from Whistler, I dropped that knowledge, and Perez just lost.
Yeah, he lost it, but then he probably thought about it, and he's like, you know what?
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because we were passing down that river. There was like a big body of water, and Perez was like, that'd be fun. And I was like, yeah, I used to be a guide down a river.
That's unreal.
I love the bit, and it's not a bit because it's true that Tickets lived like 5 different lives.
Yeah.
It really is. He's seen...
This is the best one. They're all shit. This is the best life I've had.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. This is the best life I've had too, man.
Yeah.
You've lived a number of lives too.
I have.
You've seen a lot of shit.
I think when you said I was going down a bad path, I was thinking, I was like, I feel like everybody in our crew at one point was headed down a bad path.
Yeah. Yeah, we all have had, I guess you could say, our vices or like nobody, I know nobody in general is squeaky clean, but like we've all had some really rough stages.
Yeah.
There's things with me that people don't know. Like there's all, we've all had, it's a crazy crew.
I think that's one of the reasons it's great.
Like I agree.
Because I think like we all had like pretty, you know, crazy experiences or went through so much shit that, but we're a little older now to where when we are doing what we're doing now, one, we appreciate a lot more. Two, we work a lot harder because of it, at least in my opinion. And it's like, I don't think it would hit as hard if we didn't have those prior lives.
Yeah. And we're able to look at things like when, I think what we do a really, really good job at is when there's bumps in the road or we're going through some shit or whatever, like we are able to address it and keep the ball moving to where like these other channels you see and like there's a lot younger guys. I mean, even when Good Good had to deal with a lot of that drama, it had to be tough for them because I couldn't imagine dealing with that when I was 21 years old.
Yep. Yeah.
We go through shit now, and not that we're perfect, but we're really good about just keeping it moving, and we'll go at each other and it's over and you keep the ball moving. I think we do a good job with that.
I agree. I think a lot of it is the personalities too. Like for example, Cold Cuts, like he's the most, you can say anything to the guy and he'll absorb it and then it bounces off him and it's gone.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
There's nobody like that. We're all like that, but him, it's the most like he can make it through anything and he can absorb anything and then not have it affect him, which is very valuable for what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what Cutsy doesn't get enough credit for. And a lot of times, you know, we bust his balls. He can take a joke better than anybody I have ever met in my life.
I know.
And he doesn't affect it. And he's probably the best at, when I say keeping it moving, if you ever get into it with Joe, and it's rare, but me and Joe even have had things, you wouldn't believe how fast he's over it. I mean, it could be seconds later. It's like it never happened. And I think it helps a lot. I really do. I think it's a game changer, but he doesn't get enough credit for that, how well he can take a joke.
No, he's one of the best at taking a joke. It's unbelievable the things that we can say to him or the things that have happened to all of us. And it just, like, I know I've been rattled by certain things, and I'm sure some of you guys have too, and it just bounces right off the fucking guy, man. It's unbelievable.
And he's so funny. Like, the shit he says is so funny, because you could say the craziest thing to him, and it'll be like this huge thing, and it bounces off him, and then he's like, so Tatsu for dinner or something? And everybody's like, what? It's like, hi. He's like, boys, we're going out tonight? And it's like, we just gave you the most devastating news you could ever hear in your life. And he's just like, he just bounces and it's just the next thing, you know? But I wanted to, by the way, what I wanted to know from you, Ticket, because we didn't get fully into it. I remember when you started, right?
Sure.
It was a year ago because it was around my birthday. It was in July. We did a week at, in LA. FP came out here. We did Strawberry Farms.
That's right.
And we did a bunch of other stuff.
Yep.
And then I think you originally thought you were like, I'm going to make some extra money, like filming. I don't think you realized that like you were in, you know what I mean? Like you filmed that week. And then like a week later you were like full time, or a month later you were full time, or you started working before you were full time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like such a adjustment period, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know what your thoughts were when you kind of just got like thrown into the whole thing.
Yeah, I have been working for about a year with you guys, and I was full time come September, but I started doing like contract work like back in July. It's been about a year exactly since that Strawberry Farms Angeles National. That was the first video you were in,
yeah,
I think,
full time
playing golf, which is a great video. Go back and check it out. That's the double euro episode.
It is.
Yeah.
Part two.
That's part two. Yeah. Part two has the double euro in it. But I was living in Charleston, and then I came out because Bob had said that, like, hey, you know, I was working on the Brilliantly Dumb show at that point, and he said, hey, you know, we were looking for a guy to help us out with the camera stuff. We're not sure if it's going to be a full-time gig, but if you want to come out, you can help us out. And I had already been considering moving back to LA, so I moved back out, but I did not think that, I hoped that maybe it would turn into something, but I did not think it would happen as fast as it did. I thought it would take a lot longer. But obviously, taking some of the workload off of your plate, I think, expedited the process. Like, look how well this worked.
Right.
So let's bring him on full time. But no, when I first came out, I thought I was going to be getting another job. I thought I was going to be working.
I remember that.
Yeah. And I thought I was going to be working as a waiter again somewhere, or a bartender. And thank God that didn't happen.
I remember the first trip, because I knew we needed somebody, we were going to get somebody. And again, like, I didn't care the technical skill, but I remember, if he knows, if he's like competent and like we get along, mm-hmm. and we all get along, which you do, like you were friends with them before I knew them, mm-hmm. but it was like, and I remember the trip was, it just went smoothly and everybody had a great time. And we were like, right after, we were like, he's in, like, mm-hmm. when we need, like, we didn't even know, honestly, if you could do other, like, editing. I know you had background in
I was in the film program there for a little bit, and I got a lot of experience in Premiere, but it was completely different from how you've made the Bob to Sports show. It was a completely different editing style, so there was a bit of a learning curve, but yeah, I agree. I think I just sort of fit in a certain way, right. And we made the rest work.
Yeah, I remember. I was like, he did the camera well, and we're all friends, and mm-hmm. we can teach each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what kind of, like, I was like, all right, let's just take it. Because again, like, I'd rather take that than, you know, an esteemed guy who's too technical.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say that in a bad way, but for what we do and how, like, it's very important that everybody's on the same page and is tight with each other.
It's bigger than, I think it's bigger than anything. I didn't know from a technical standpoint how much you really knew. And we had been friends for a while, but when you said to me, you're like, you know, I technically did even go to school for it. To me, obviously, again, the comedic timing was the biggest thing, but I didn't know that you were that as good as you are even at the time.
I'm not that good, and it had been a long time since I had been in that school program, so I had forgotten a lot of it. I hadn't used any of those skills, and there's still a lot of things that I know how to do that have absolutely no place in what we do. It's completely useless knowledge. Like I said, the way that we edit Bob Does Sports that I learned from Benny, he kind of created that tone and style, is completely different from what I had ever learned. So I had to sort of relearn and do all those things. But that's sort of like what Benny's saying, is like, it's better to have someone who doesn't necessarily know all the things that we do, but has the comedic timing and has the friendship that we do.
Yep.
Because then that's something that you can mold. It's like a piece of clay that you can mold, as opposed to someone who's had years and years of the industry and has a way that they do things, and you have to take a finished sculpture and try to restructure it. That's just never going to work.
I remember you saying it was like a few months into you working, and like, you guys were really, there was a lot coming, and we were doing more videos and stuff like that. And I remember Ticket said to me, and we were on the phone, and he's like, doing this now, he's like, I just can't believe that Jet was able to do this one man for as long. Yeah. And now I realize that's why you were so nuts. I mean, I knew you were doing a ton, but then you hear Ticket say that too.
Well, rewind back to that couch when I wasn't working yet, but I saw you, and you said yourself, you were, this guy must think I'm crazy. And I was like, this guy's pretty fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But then when I came on and realized that you were doing all these things.
The Brilliantly Dumb Show too.
By yourself. Yeah, at that time you were still doing the Brilliantly Dumb Show. I was like, no fucking way. I mean, obviously he's fucking crazy. This is too much for any insanity. One young man.
Well, it's good that is the reason you think I'm crazy. Not just because I'm, you're no, like, oh,
well, now
the work.
I know different. But when I first started, yes.
But. Yeah, I never thought much of it. I just thought that it was like, that's what we do, like, we'll make it happen. But the truth is, when it just kept building and building and building. So it was like, I didn't know necessarily. Now, when I saw you in New Jersey, the first time we met, and you, which is a whole nother
story.
That's
a great story. Like, really, maybe get into that.
Really, well, you go for, I mean, when I saw you in New Jersey, I remember you were talking, you said, because we were doing the Brilliantly Dumb Show at the time, and we were doing all the social media stuff, and it was great, but you were talking about how Bob the Sports was going to start, and you were like, I need you to be, like, I'm going to, you know, vouch for you to be a part of it. And we were talking about how we're going to do it, because originally we said this a million times, but we were just going to go to stadiums every week or at sporting events and film and edit and whatever. And I remember saying to you, because we were also doing the Brilliantly Dumb Show, which is a lot of time. And I was like, listen, it's going to be the craziest year of our lives, but if we really commit to it, we'll make it happen. So I was fully committed to just like being in a dark room for a year. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And you want to know the sickest thing is that, like, no, I'm saying, like, I knew what I was getting myself into, no, and in a sick way, like, I wanted that. Like, I really enjoy, like just grinding over anything, like, that I enjoy. Like, not like math, but you know what I mean? Like, grinding, like, this was exciting to be doing something that I felt was cool or, like, a cool job. So, that's, So that's why when I would do all the work, I was like, I was committed to that. Now, after the ticket was hired and he was like, me and him both felt like we were working so much and so long. Then I was like, how did I do it without him? Because all my time is still spent on it, but I was doing double the work before. Like it didn't make sense to me. And now finally, like for the first time in like, since we started, I actually like, I used to be so envious of you guys because you guys used to I always enjoyed the trips and enjoyed the work, but you guys really, it seemed like, had a great time on the trips. And like when we would come home, I would fucking be like nervous about the next thing you're editing. And finally, like over the last few months, I've been starting to like really enjoy the trips.
I've noticed that recently.
I have too. He's having a fucking blast.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, because like I it's just like we built the foundation and like we're not like doing anything crazy. We're not like, you know, solving world problems, but we built the foundation for what we do to the point where it somewhat runs smoothly and efficiently. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Like we're up late Wednesday nights, like we do our thing, but like a year and 2 years in, I finally like can take a step back and be like, okay, like we can breathe for a little bit and still be smooth with what we do.
The stress that me and you put on ourselves in the first few months of Bob Does Sports, like even using the company credit card, like we didn't even want to ever any meal we'd have, we like wouldn't trust that we could actually put it on the card, and like we wouldn't want like ever, we were so scared to use it. And I remember we always just said, I just wanted to get to a point where we could go out for dinner and not have to worry about swiping the card.
Yeah, and same thing with the ticket. When I was always afraid to be like, we need to hire another guy, because I always kind of think of it as like we're this like this little tiny operation, and we need to prove ourselves, or we need to do this before we get help. So I was always, and still to this day, I'm always hesitant to ask for help. And you guys are always like, dude, like we're doing fine. Like we can get help to keep it moving. But it's the same thing. It's like I think we all kind of feel how we all think of it as much smaller and tighter than it might actually be.
Yes.
In the day to day.
Yes.
So that's where like the grind of it comes. But I think that's good. Like, I mean, we work a ton, but I think it's good.
Well, also when I started too, it didn't die down as far as workload too much either, because as soon as I started, we took on more things too. There wasn't the podcast. That's true. We started having a lot more ads come in.
Yep.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
And so it sort of took us a while to really dial that in. And now that we have a new guy, he can actually start, we can start feeling a little bit more free because we have the foundation laid for now that he's coming in.
Dude,
we're in a good spot.
I've learned a lot about like managing, or like, I never like thought I would be I never ever imagined I would have somebody like
working for you.
No, I don't want to say working for me, but like working with somebody or being in charge of somebody else, or like delegating work. And like, I never realized how hard that was going to be and how much I've learned about like just people in general and how people work and how everybody's different and how you have to adapt to other people. And I don't think I'm good at it. I think I'm better than I used to be, but it's like a work in progress for you know, what we do.
It just, you're a perfectionist, and it took you a long time to be able to delegate and sending stuff. Once Tick came aboard and you saw that it was working for Tick, I think that set you free.
Yeah, and the Tick, I mean, he really, I was hesitant to let, like he came on and what were you doing? You were doing all the graphics, you were doing all the music, you were doing the podcast, and then that shit is tedious. It becomes tedious. And I remember you were like, let me edit an episode. And I was like, fuck no. Like, I'm never gonna give up editing an episode of Bob Does Sports, a full episode. And now he edits full episodes by himself, and he has his own style, and some of our great episodes are edited by him. And he, because we work together, we have more time. Like, I'm sure people are seeing more graphics that are being in, like more segments, more funny stuff that are being added afterwards. That's all him, because we have a little more time. I mean, now we're going into a crunch, but
I also think too, you now being able to enjoy these trips, we all now love these trips. Not that we ever didn't love the trips.
Yeah.
Are they not so much fucking fun?
They are. That Whistler trip was one of the most, I was probably the best time I've ever had.
Really?
I think that was the best trip I've ever had with you guys.
Oh.
I mean, it's Whistler and Virginia are tied.
Oh yeah, Virginia too. Virginia was the first one where I started feeling a little bit more like we're a little bit okay here.
Yeah.
When we're ahead, we're having more fun. I'll tell you
right, that's what we do now. That's what we do is we bust ass for 3 weeks to get ahead of the work for the trip, and then we go on the trip and we don't really have to do any editing on the trip, so we can sit there and enjoy it and then even get more ahead, and as we add more people, it just becomes more and more smooth.
My favorite shit, I say it all the time, is not even on the golf course filming. When we come back to the Airbnb and we order dinner and everybody's shooting the shit and just the banter going around the house, there's five different bits going on at one time.
Yeah.
People are screaming from upstairs to downstairs. There's so much going on and it's so fucking funny. And every step of the way, it's just, there's always something going on. It's just fun.
Yeah. And the craziest thing is that I've said to you, is that we're still operating as like a run and gun. Like, people live in different cities. We're dragging equipment. We're doing podcasts in random places. Like, when we get set up with a studio and we all live in the same place, we're going to be able to execute on such a higher level than we do now. And still, I feel like now we execute on a high level, but it's more chaotic. And like being able to get in a car and drive to an office and have that be your workspace and have a podcast studio in an office and have a fucking simulator and have a TV where everybody comes and hangs out and like shit gets done is I can't wait for that. Just one, to be in that environment, and two, because I know how well it's going to benefit the show.
Yeah, and we're not going to have to travel as much. Not that we mind the travel, but it is a lot of travel with now being with Perez.
Well, you got to say where we're going.
Big announcement, by the way. I think we may have teased it a little bit, but whatnot, but big announcement, Bob Does Sports is moving to Jupiter, Florida, which, clap it up. Makes a lot of sense as far as the golf that's down there, the people that are down there. I've been visiting there the longest time, having my parents live down there, so obviously it's very special for me to go down there and spend time with them. But it just makes more sense. And like Jet was saying, for us all to be able to be together and just rapid fire videos, who knows? Maybe we can even put up more videos now. I'm not going to promise anything, but who knows? Yeah. Different podcasts, us not having to meet up with Perez, you know, and fly to him, vice versa.
Pros that live there.
Down there. It really does seem like that is the best play now more than ever. Even like now, like, we can't, you know, we just have to, with the podcast, like, we just sat down because it's us three, because we don't have Perez, we don't have Joe. Like,
you see, it's in like a hotel and the lighting is not as good, or it's not, it could be so much better when we're all together.
Yeah, I think one thing that we love about the podcast is that it's sort of a traveling circus, and I think a lot of the time that really works out. But then there are sometimes, like some of the recent ones, when we're in hotel rooms and we sort of get stuck in a bind and the lighting sucks, and it's a, you know, it'll be nice to have our own studio. We'll still definitely do some on the road. I'm sure we'll continue to do that, but it'll be really nice to be in a controlled environment with good lighting, good audio equipment, that we don't have to run around, go to Bob's house, go to Joe's house, go every which way. We'll have the equipment set up there, and it'll be easier for us, but it's absolutely going to translate in the final product of the podcast, I think, as well.
Totally. And it I obviously, especially too, amongst the golf and all that stuff with my parents being down there, I of course wanted to go down there, and you guys finally coming on board and saying that you guys wanted to, I think you knew it from the standpoint of, you knew how much it'll help the show. You were open to kind of just going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm lucky that I don't have like a lot of the guys have girlfriends. Prez is married. I have no responsibilities besides myself and the show and like my friends, whatever. So I, even when I moved to LA, I just kind of like picked up and moved to LA. So, and living in LA is great, but I cannot see myself living here long term. Like, I'm ready. No. Jupiter, I love New York. I have a ton of friends in New York. Jupiter is much closer there. I could go there if I need a break. I can, like, it just made more sense to me. And when the last time we went to Jupiter, it was a really good time. And the prior time wasn't, but the last time was. And I just think that, I think we could really like stake a claim there almost.
Yeah, and even the amount of people are down there. Somebody I've been spending a ton of time with in Jupiter, and even having rounds with him that are just like off camera, is Grant. Grant Horvat has been down there. I've been having so much fun even just down there, and all the different courses that are down there. is just, it's so much fun. But you guys are taking a leap. You have a girlfriend that's out here, so you might have to do the long distance thing. Perez, you know, having a wife, and Perez was definitely one of the easier sells. Perez understood Jupiter, the golf, and all that. Cutsy was tough. And not, it's not wrong to him by any means, but it was different for Cutsy.
Till he found out there's no income tax.
Yeah.
Then it was an easy sell. Sunshine tax ain't gonna bang.
Yeah, and you know what? There's plenty of sunshine in Florida.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I got a great letter that I sent to my dad about when I was when I was living in Miami. My parents had moved to Jupiter, so I would only have to travel it's a little over an hour to go see them, and it was great, and it was so awesome to see them. So they had moved down there. I was already in Miami. And they were so upset that right when they got down, the year that they got down, my sister went to University of Miami. She was just graduated med school. So the year that they went down to Jupiter and they wanted to be by us, they also wanted to go down to Jupiter. The year they got down, my sister had to go to Dallas because she had her now husband got into med school over there or whatnot. He went to Dallas. And then I went to LA. So I still have it. I sent my dad this long, long email when I was on the flight going to LA, and me going to LA was kind of just on a whim, but I knew I wanted to do it, and I felt like I needed to be out there. And I told him of how upset that I am leaving them, and my parents are obviously getting older, so it killed me knowing that I go to LA and it would take me a long time to get back to Jupiter, and that I would have to go and make something of myself, like find something to do career-wise and whatnot. My goal was always to get back to them, but I told my dad that I feel like this is what I have to do, and I'll eventually be back. So it for me now to be back and looking at the letter now, it's pretty, not to get emotional, but it's pretty, pretty cool. It really is. I told you about it. When I read that letter, it was insane.
You reread it recently?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That's a nice story.
When you guys all committed that you guys were like, all right, we're going to end up moving, I went back to that and I read it, and it's wild to see how it worked out, because everything that I said that I thought would happened, and now it's coming back is amazing.
I wrote a letter like that to my dad too a long time ago.
What'd it say?
Very similar.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. None of it came true.
I don't write letters.
None of it came true.
Yeah, but
I wrote a letter to myself.
I'm kidding. Yeah. That is a really nice story though. I did not know that you did that.
Yeah,
that's really cool that now it's happening.
Oh yeah, because me with my dad, and you know too, we're like best friends.
Yeah, you're tight.
We play pickleball. Yeah. We go watch UFC together. We do everything together. So I was having so much fun being able to go visit him, and that was the saddest thing. But now going back, I think it's going to be amazing.
You're turning into him.
Oh,
every year that goes
you're
more and more like him.
In what regard? I don't necessarily, because I hear it so much that I know it must be true. But in what regard?
You're turning in more and more into a rabbi every year.
Oh boy.
Just the way you talk, just the way you hunch when you run, you know. You remind me a lot. Meeting your dad, I've always been infatuated with him for a long time. I sent him a gift way before I even had him. Larry David merch. But then meeting him, now I've met him a couple of times, it's just so fascinating to see the guy that I met 5-6 years ago, and each year you're just getting more and more like Mike Berger.
Yeah. Dude, I love
you. Which is not
a
bad thing. He's one of the funniest people I've ever met, and so are you.
He's not a rabbi, but what Ticket means by that, he's so Jewish in the sense of he's Larry David.
Correct.
He's that. That's true. Ticket sent him Larry David merch.
Makes sense, yeah.
Just randomly.
I remember the first time, I didn't know your dad, but I used to post videos about him, and I remember the ice cream video your parents got skinny cow ice creams, but instead, I could be fucking it up, but instead of three chocolate, three vanilla, there was six chocolate, or there was four chocolate and two vanilla. And he got on the phone and I called you. I was like, is this real? Is this a bit?
Hi, Ivana. My name is Mike Berger. How are you? Okay, I got a question for you. I just opened up a skinny cow vanilla and chocolate ice cream sandwich, which I buy a lot of. And I got four vanilla and two chocolate instead of three vanilla and three chocolate.
Oh, there is a correct balance?
Yeah, I mean, normally when I open these up, it's three vanilla and three chocolate. It's an assorted pack. But this time I got 4 vanilla and 2 chocolate.
And you're like, no, he called them and he was complaining about the fact that they fucked up the assortment of chocolate to vanilla. And your mom is so funny because your mom is just sits there and she's like, what the fuck? Like, she like laughs at him almost. And it like, it's such a funny dynamic. And then when I met your dad, well, I met him a few times, but when we went out to dinner one time, not the first time, but the second time at Brass Ring,
you guys hit
and
it
me
off.
And him got into this incredible discussion about how Joe Madden you guys were like talking about whatever, like, and me and him were like going at it in agreement about how Joe Madden almost ruined the Cubs 2016 World Series by pitching Aroldis Chapman too much. Yes. And he like, I said it and I wasn't expecting anybody to like agree with me. And he's like, you're absolutely right. And then we just started talking about how Joe Madden almost banged us. And yeah, I was like, I like your dad a lot.
You guys really hit it off.
Yeah.
The first time we had dinner, I think you were more reserved because you were just getting to know them and whatnot. And
yeah,
the second time you guys, I mean, it was just nonstop.
He was also, when I saw him on the golf course, he was wearing the jet polo. And I was like, all right, that's respect, you know?
Yeah. And it was in the middle of COVID too. So like the last thing that people are worrying about are that, and he's dead serious. Yeah. It's not a bit.
I know. It's
really all right. We got Q&A's, boys.
With that being said, we're not 2024. We're aiming for, we're not going tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm glad you did that. Yeah. By the end of the year
or early next year.
Yeah, it
2029 will be in Jupiter.
I've already been looking. I mean, I've already looked at places to where I know for me, I'll be down there. I think all of us are gearing towards like the start of next year.
But I'm thinking of moving sooner rather than later.
I am too. I'm thinking about it too. It's like, what's the point?
I'm ready to rip the Band-Aid off. If I'm going, I'm going.
I was
going to
tell you, but yeah, I was going to tell you, if you like, because if you were to call me and be like, here's this apartment, it's this much a month, you're in, I would be like, all right, I'm out.
If I find the right apartment, I will go.
Yeah, what's taking about? I will tell you how.
Really?
Yeah, I will.
Well, that changes a lot.
Well, I might not find the right apartment until January. I'm just saying, if I do find it,
I'm ready to.
Well, you got half a foot there. You live.
Yeah, we have had, and this was even before you came into the picture. I mean, with our friend group out here in LA, we had a fucking blast, and we loved it. We'd go out to dinners, like. We had all our traditions of what we do, football Sundays. I could leave LA knowing that, A, it's time, and B, we had so much fucking fun out here.
Yeah, I mean, this was the first trip that's coming back from Whistler. When we landed in LA, I was so sad.
Me too.
I was legitimately...
Not sad, yeah. Yeah.
I had like a weird pit in my stomach.
Yeah, really.
It was very uncomfortable. One, because, like I just said, I had the most fun on that trip that I ever had with you guys. And just knowing that I'm so done with this place. LA's never been for me. It was a place where I came like Bob to find out what I was going to do with my life, and it's given me that. You know, I will always be thankful for that. But LA doesn't feel like a home at all. It feels like a place you come for a career, which is what we did.
True.
Let's go find a home, boys.
Yeah,
go find
a home.
I think LA gets kind of a bad rap because it's all. So much of it is transplants who come here for that reason. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of like pride for people who live in LA. With that being said, it's like, you are right. I feel the same way in terms of like, after it's LA is, I don't want to say it's similar to New York. I lived in New York for a while. It's similar in the sense of like that. The vibes are a little different. It's more relaxed, but it's similar in that like kind of hustle bustle. Like people are here to make something happen if you're not from here. And then that's it. And I think that's why we came. I cannot see myself living here long term.
Yeah, it's like when we got back, like we all just wanted to, we were so tired, we want to go back, relax and stuff. And like you go into the Uber on the way back and it's just like chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And again, we've had a ton of fun of it, but it's definitely time. All right, you want to go to the Q&As?
Sure.
All right, boys. First question comes from TR Hansen 07. Where do you see Bobda Sports in 5 years?
It's a great question, dude.
It's a great question.
For me, I have no idea. I don't see it where it is in a week, bro. Like, I don't know. I can't, I'll be honest. Should I be honest?
Yeah.
Yeah, be honest.
Okay. Oh, man. I always think, and we talk about this, that like in an instant, it could all be taken away. like we're just talking about how much we're like, I'm finally, I don't even want to say, like for the first time ever, I'm like so enjoying what I'm doing and like what we're doing. And I it's almost like scary to me that like that that's happening, because it means that like something bad's gonna happen. Do you know what I mean? I'm always concerned that in any instant people are gonna be like, fuck these guys, like they're not funny, they're not interesting, I don't want to watch them. So I don't think in necessarily long term, but I wonder, because I see there's other channels who have came before us. You look at like a lot of like Barstool, right? Like Part of My Take, Foreplay, KFC Radio. They've been doing it for 7, 8, 9, 10 years, yeah. And we've been doing it for 2. So it's like, that's like sometimes what I remind myself of is that it's very possible that we'll be doing the same type of stuff in 5 years on the same show. It's also possible that we evolve into other stuff. Like, I don't know. I totally could see you having opportunities elsewhere. I don't think you'd ever give up Bob the Sports, but I could see you having big opportunities in entertainment that's outside. I could see a million things.
Yeah, we were on the phone, we had a long talk about it, and it got me thinking that for me, I've always said that I thought with Bob the Sports that with the platform that we're growing and we feel it getting bigger, we feel our fan base getting bigger, so many different doors are going to open up for us as we continue to grow that we can kind of pick when that time comes. So I always felt dumb for not having an answer to that, but that really is the answer, that so many doors are going to open up that we don't know where it'll be, but there will be different options, whether it be, you know, I always wanted to get into TV and whatnot, but the way we are doing the behind the scenes stuff now, it's turning into where it already was not so much a golf show. It's a golf show, but it's more comedy based.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And now we bring in the behind the scenes. It turns into like a show. So who knows what could go from there. But I love hosting. And when we did the thing for Golf Channel with Amanda Renner, we did the Tito Shortage Classic. I loved doing it. I loved hosting, doing whatnot. But then we were talking about it. It's like right now we have it so good to where – We have bosses. We have a team that I partnered with in the beginning, but I don't necessarily see them as bosses. We're very close. We're like partners. Mm-hmm. You go to like a network, and instantly you have a boss.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
We were talking about this, yeah.
Even if, you know, I always wanted to do like a Jimmy Kimmel type thing, even that, you have to go, you have to prepare, you have to, it's a very time-consuming thing. Right now we have it so good to where we can, yes, we're busy, but we can pick where we want to go, what we want to do. We live our, like, we have it so good to where it's like, maybe the grass isn't greener, you know what I mean, on that other side, to where just keep doing it. It's so good right now.
And I think, yeah, I mean, I know those opportunities are going to come your way, so you'll make those decisions when you have to. I know you're not going to just, you know, it would become like a juggling act for you, kind of.
It'd be a lot.
But it is true. It's like, even for me, it's like, I feel like I in a large way get to call the shots on what we're doing and the ticket, obviously, and all you guys. But if you give that up, that's not like what, like my dream was always to do my own thing. So when you give that up to, whether it's a network or you give it up to whoever, it's different. And I don't know, I guess like you would weigh the pros and cons, but you look at, there's other shows and other podcasts or other whatever that have gone on to do other stuff with networks or with this or that. And I don't, it doesn't necessarily always feel the same. Like now your jokes can get cut. Now there's people telling you what they think is funny. Now there's this, now there's that. And I feel like it could be a huge opportunity for exposure and money, obviously, but I think you cross that bridge when you get there.
It makes me think that like maybe we're exactly where we need to be and we don't need to be. I feel like everybody thinks like, you know, and this happens like, okay, well, what's the next thing?
Right.
Maybe there isn't the next thing. Like maybe this is exactly what we need to be in doing for the next 10 years.
You know. Listen, there's nothing I hate more than being told what to do. But you know what I mean? It's like, and I'm sure you all feel the same way. It's like we get to do what we think is right. Like we get to call the shots.
Yeah.
And yeah, those opportunities are going to come, and it'll probably become somewhat of a juggling act, and you'll pick your spots, and I know you'll make the right decision, but I'm sure it's coming.
Tick.
I used to think that Anthony Bourdain had the best job
in
the entire world. All he did was travel and eat, and he made a shitload of money. But now I think this is the best job.
Damn. Are you being serious?
I'm being 100% serious.
It really is.
You travel
man.
With your best friends. Like you said, for the most part, don't have a boss, which is, that's like the end goal for anybody.
I know.
You can make a living without a boss. Do it.
I mean, in the words of Cold Cuts, I never got in this for the money.
Yeah. Never got into this for the money.
You know what I mean? I got into it to feel, you know, to try to do something or feel good about yourself, to not have a boss.
I can't imagine what would be better than this. I mean, I know, like you said, I have a very important sock company coming that will eventually need all of my attention. But for now, this I can't imagine anything better than this. This is as good as it gets.
Even when we were doing the fitting for Callaway, like especially a guy like Perez who's been into golf his whole life, I'm watching Perez get fitted for his clubs at Callaway, and I'm like, this guy is living
his exact
there is nothing else in the world that he would rather be doing. All of us, but like Perez.
No, but yeah, I mean, that was his life.
I can't imagine a single, what would he want to do more?
And it wouldn't
even in the golf space, I don't think there's a better option.
Yeah, it's like, even if he was good enough to play on tour, like that's a grind and a half. Yes. You know what I mean? Like he would be on the fucking mini tours, or he would be doing this, or he would be doing that. And it's like,
wouldn't want to commentate. Yeah. You know?
He just gets to be, dude, he gets to be himself. That's like all anybody wants to do in life. And like nobody can be, a lot of people can't be themselves due to a million reasons. And he gets, all of us get to be ourselves.
This guy's hat has been unsnapped. I've never seen anything like it.
I can't.
Bob, breezygolf.com for the hat.
Next question. This isn't so much of a question, but I wanted to throw it your way because I find it amusing. From Brandon_Henry7. He wants us to do a cigar challenge. One cigar each hole. See what you can shoot in a three-man scramble. Bro, that's nice.
First of all, Tick, that's up your alley. No,
one cigar that each hole.
That will go down as the worst request. And with all due respect, he's a supporter of the show.
All due respect, Brandon.
That has got to be the worst suggestion we have ever received, and I'm gonna that is terrible.
I think I smoked a cigar once on the golf course when I was like younger. My friend was like, hey, try this, it's cool. I didn't know what I was doing. By like the fifth hole, I was like, this sucks, I'm out. Never did it again.
That's like me with a chewing tobacco. Guy gave it to me in center field during BP.
Fucking Zinnichino.
And I went to run after a fly ball, and I was dizzy going after it.
I never understood that, how these pro players are just sticking dip all in their cheeks.
Yeah, it's like, why would I want to? It does look kind of, I can't say it. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah, but you know what doesn't look cool is a fucking slider coming in at 84 when you can't function.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen like a real pitch coming in, like something over 85?
Oh,
like have you seen like a 99? No, like in the batter's box.
Well, the batter's box.
Oh,
the batter's
box.
Do you remember those?
Old?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh, like in college.
College, and then even in high school, it was just such a competitive.
You had guys in that throwing in the 90s in high school.
Yeah.
Shit. Do you remember? Those
They were like studs. They were like the cream of the crop. But oh yeah.
Did you play Don Bosco? Is that what we're talking
about? Don Bosco. Seton Hall Prep had a guy, the coach's son, last name was Shepard.
Okay.
And he got drafted. This kid was just
probably for the Reds, yeah.
Beep. Everybody got drafted by the Reds.
Yep.
Well, my point is, though, like, that is, you have no, I don't even know how you hit that.
Hit a baseball?
When it's coming in, like, because when I played in high school, it was like the top guy pretty much, pitched 85, 87, and that was pretty rare. Mm-hmm. You were getting a lot of guys at 79, 80. Dude, when you see something at 95, 96 coming in, you blink, it's gone.
You know what's I don't even know how you... These guys are getting so much stronger now that you've seen usually the cap of like the highest, hardest you could throw was like 100 miles per hour. Now it's built up. There's guys like you've seen guys hit 103, 104. I can't imagine there's a world where there's going to be a guy throwing 107, 108 miles per hour.
Yeah, I don't know what the limit on that is. Like,
there's got to be a cap at some point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I saw a stat, not that there's anything, it kind of has something to do with this. It said that, it was like, what's the most unbreakable record in sports? One of these, like, whatever. It said that Cy Young had like 700 complete games. And I was like, I literally saw it. I was like, they should name an award after him because this shit is crazy. Dude, that's insane.
That is ridiculous.
Like nobody, and especially nowadays, like no one's pitching that much.
Yeah, that's one I can't see. Yeah. I'd like to see other sports too. What's the hardest record to possibly break? I'd be curious to see those. All right, Tech, let's fire another one.
This one's for you, Bob.
Tell him, Bob.
I know you're a Stern fan. This comes from Travis J. Allen. What's your top five Whack Pack members?
Oh, man. I don't know. To be honest with you, I am a Stern fan. I don't know if I could give you five. Artie Lang is number one.
Mm-hmm.
When the Stern show was going with Artie Lang, it was by far the best. Beetlejuice would be at number two. Yeah, I don't. To be honest, I don't know if I could give you five. Those were always my two favorite. You know who loves Beetlejuice is Jersey Jerry.
Jersey Jerry's
obsessed with it. Yeah, yeah, no, I don't know if I could give you all my whack pack. I'm not that Jersey deep Jerry. Into it. I started like I'm one of the newer ones. My dad would get me into it, but when the Howard Stern show was going with Artie Lang, it was sad to watch because he was in such a spiral. But yeah. It was the funniest, most fascinating. I have the Howard Stern book right there. Thing of all time. And then what I really love with Stern, I love interviewing. I think he is the best interviewer of all time, mm-hmm. with all due respect to Barbara Walters.
There was a time where this guy, do you know who Jim Norton is? Jim Norton would be on the show a little bit. He was pretty damn good.
So you know something about everything.
Or Baba Booey.
Baba Booey would be up there for sure. Yeah.
Worst first pitch of all time.
Yes.
Baba Booey. Yes.
Ticket, you know something about everything. Like, you could probably get five Whack Pack members. I couldn't.
I don't know if I could, but my dad and I would listen to Howard Stern. He would drive me into school. I went to private school. He would drive me every day, and we would listen to Howard on the way
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
So you were like a kid listening to that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mom hated it.
My same,
that's crazy.
Same yeah. situation.
Your mom hated it?
Same situation. Yeah. My dad would play, and there'd be some sexual stuff that correct. I'd almost be a little uncomfortable with.
Well, they had the they had the sitar. What was that thing called? It was called the sim.
Oh, something. When they would ride it.
Yeah, they had the women's ride.
Yeah, it was like a sex toy, and they would do it. They would do it live on the show.
I feel like he was one of the first guys who simulcasted with video. Like possibly. he was filming his radio show.
Could be.
Anyway, good question, Travis. Next question comes from Wes DeBomford. Would you boys ever consider coming down under? Meaning Australia.
Yes.
But you specifically, because you don't like to travel much.
I would do it with you guys. I'm a fish out of water overseas, so I do have to see a lot. Ferg, who is our favorite human being maybe on the face of the earth, who's our Callaway rep, he's from Australia. So if he hosted it, which he had talked about doing, I would know we're in such good hands with him that my answer would be yes. Same thing with Rick Shields, why I have no issue going to Europe. You know, when you have a host like that, you're in such good hands. Joe with Canada, like, you're in such good hands that I would do that. I would dread the flight.
Australia is supposedly, I mean, I've never been there. I know people have gone there. It's, first of all, they love Americans there, and they are, it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. And you know who lives in Australia? Minwoo Lee.
You love you some Minwoo.
We need to get. He's my number one. I need to get. Yeah. I started DMing him for the Bob Liss Sports account.
He banged me.
Yeah, but he didn't.
But I bet him. I love him. I love him.
I think you should have bet him top 10.
Me,
he would have banged.
He banged.
He didn't bang you. You bet him before the open. Okay. Well, then anybody you bet, if you make a bet, 124 people are going to bang you. Essentially,
yeah, I've been banged.
All right.
Do you know how many people he said has banged him before a bet that he's just gone off?
No, but if I'm picking a player before a tournament, that doesn't count as banging you. Banging you is a guy who chokes in the last day. Then he banged you.
Sure.
They banged me.
Mito Pereira banged me.
Mito Pereira banged you. Yeah.
Mito Pereira banged you.
Mito Pereira bang job.
Yeah. All right. Good question. Next question comes from, ever consider a tangent podcast called The Boys Do Food? Or just a separate show.
We could call it The Pantry show. Boys.
Dude, the Pantry Boys was my golden goose. That was the most fun, I think, concept.
You want to know what the answer to your question was when you said we're all living, like Prez is living his dream life? You are living your dream life. The only thing that would be better is food.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. The only thing I say I do like more than golf is definitely food.
There you go.
For sure. And
if you became the new Anthony Bourdain, because there's a gap in that space now, traveling, just eating food, but you don't really know what you're talking about. Like, you're just like, this tastes good.
I hate to tell you this, Nick, but that's what our show is.
Yeah. But it's all, we review McDonald's right. every day.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
same meal at McDonald's every day.
So good.
Would you ever do something like that, though? For like Bob does food?
Without question.
Really?
Yeah. But I would want to do, it wouldn't be nearly as fun if I was doing it by myself. Like, the reason why we're
no,
doing...
No, it would be all three of you guys.
Oh, for
to
sure.
To different restaurants.
No, but
oh,
you could have... Sure. You could be like diners, drive-ins, and whatever. You could... That could be up your alley, that type
is,
of thing.
That is like
you
my
go to
dream,
like,
yes.
You go to, like, regular restaurants.
Yes. Yeah. Like, yeah, Perez would be the golf. Me, food, that would be... So, yeah, I'd be all in on that.
Yeah, watching you and... cuts eat would be fantastic. And Perez not eating. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bring chicken tenders at every single restaurant you go to.
Dude, me and Joe used to, I mean, we used to go out to dinner all the time. It's my favorite thing in the world to do. There's nothing better. Let's do one more.
Let's do one more. Okay. The last one we have comes from
Gimme 5,000.
Max.Nielsen 1-1.
I'm concerned. I saw one of them. I'm a little nervous. Is that the one?
Favorite trip so far from everyone, which today is just the three of us.
You start us off, Dick.
Whistler.
Yeah.
Vancouver, Whistler. It was a rough start in that we did have a... You know, what you were talking about earlier on in the show is that we really run on good vibes, and a lot of the time the Airbnb plays a big part of that. There's an energy that each one has, and this first place that we had, man, was so big and so creepy that it was almost like we didn't spend much time together.
You're right.
We were very spread out. We didn't have – it was not a comfy, inviting vibe, so we didn't see you guys that much. But that being said, all the courses we played were fantastic when we were in Vancouver. But then when we shot up to Whistler, that spot we had.
He's a different guy in Whistler.
That house was so conducive to, like you said, five different bits going on at once. We all felt so much better. There wasn't a two-way mirror. It was a really fun time. And, man, those few days in Whistler. Then we went out for Jeff's birthday, had an awesome meal. Eating pizza and all sort of Italian food and just the course up there, Big Sky, Whistler to me. I mean, Virginia's close. Virginia was fantastic, but Whistler to me, I mean, just what we had going, we were firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
And we had the behind the scenes guy going, Avery, and it was just, that was my favorite trip by far so far.
Yeah. I'll let you go after Jet. It was both so well hosted, like even Joe set everything up. It's so close. I would say the only reason I would give Virginia the upper edge is I developed a case of the shanks very early into Whistler, and I couldn't get it back. So I'd probably go – for me, if I'm playing bad, it really doesn't. I'm still able to keep it going. But when you're playing as bad as I did and not being able to find it, Virginia, I played great. So that was why I would give it the edge. It was both so well done. The places were great. Everything was hosted. I guess if I had to give an edge, that's why I would give Virginia a slight edge.
Yeah, I mean, they're neck and neck for me. I'm trying to think something outside of that because those are the two obvious ones. Obviously, you know what where I love going, not necessarily my favorite trip. I love going to Scottsdale.
Scottsdale, yeah.
I love that. And to me, a lot of it is like based upon like not the city or anything, but like the like nostalgia of like something we did. Like when we went to Wickenburg, I love Arizona because of that. And like I love Quail Lodge. Well, Quail Lodge is beautiful and they took awesome. It. That would probably be my third is Quail Lodge because they took care of us. Like it was, they set it up. They took care of us. The course is beautiful. We have good memories there because where we, you know, we had the first the match there.
Match.
So I'm trying to think. And then obviously the best of the best for me is Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Just because it's just, I don't know how to explain it. It was the best time we ever had. I mean, I would say Virginia and Whistler are tied, but then for like my own personal like nostalgia, it's Ole Miss.
Yeah. That's wild with Ole Miss. Remember, but on game day, going to that like convenience store.
It was like a bookstore or something.
It was the most southern thing I have ever seen. I got to tell you what, fellas, I enjoyed that.
It was a good one.
I really, really enjoyed that. Vito's Pizza?
Vito's Pizza.
Bob does food.
Six slices.
Appreciate you boys coming on. It was good to get the ticket backstory and all of that. A lot of fun. Again, Joe's in Canada right now. Perez in Virginia. The boys are coming to Jupiter. We're looking forward to it. Hope you've enjoyed this episode. That's been another edition of the Bob Does Sports Podcast. We'll see you next time.